Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi everyone, welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I'm too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and you are certainly going to be too scared to watch this week's scary movie.
Oh no.
And we're missing our Henley still.
I can't believe she's had a baby for 2 weeks and she's not back on the podcast.
It's honestly pretty rude, and I think we might have to fire her.
I've transitioned to being mad at her. What's the big deal? Come back on the podcast. Our sadness is manifesting as anger, you guys. It's not real.
We're going through the stages of grief. We're going through
the stages.
We're at the anger stage.
Yeah. We'll have her back, and we love her child already, and we're not even jealous.
We're not even jealous.
We're not even jealous. It's crazy that you would think that thought.
We're, like, so far from jealous, it's crazy.
Hadn't even occurred to me that someone could be jealous of their friend's baby's attention. But it's nice to know that I'm not.
It's so nice to know.
Mm. Yeah, well.
Oh, what's up with us?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, we recorded not too long ago. Today I was like, you got to think of something to say on the podcast. You got to think of something. Why can't I think of anything that's happening in my life? And I was like, well, I guess it wasn't that long ago that we recorded our last episode, so it made me feel a little bit better. I don't know. Nothing like exciting has happened to me in the past few days, except I did get like, you know, rip one of my nails like almost all the way off.
Oh,
not on
yeah.
purpose. Not on purpose.
That would be very bad and weird.
It was not fun. It was not fun. It'll be fine. I'm past it hurting, but, you know, and I have a gross little like tiny nail and it's going to take forever to grow back and I'm not excited about that.
Ouch. You know what I have to say about that? Ouch, 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 ouch.
And that's what I did. Ouch, yeah. Ouch, 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 ouch.
I bet.
I did
if there
that.
Ever were a time to do it, it would have been
then. That was the time.
That was the time for it.
That was the time. And then I did. Speaking of Henley, who I'm not mad at and whose baby I'm not jealous of, I was thinking about women.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about women and how the burden of human existence is placed entirely on women. And I just was like sitting with that thought. I've been spent my, you know, I went and visited my nephew. I spent time with him. I have had two friends have babies in the span of like 2 weeks. Henley is one. And then her other friends had a baby a couple weeks before Henley did. And then I just spent time with our other friend's baby. And all of a sudden there are all these babies in my life. And you know, all of these women have wonderful partners. They're so lucky. They have very, you know, committed, they're wonderful parents together, very well supported, but like it doesn't even compare. Like if yours is the body that it comes out of and grows within, like there's no fucking comparison at any point along. Like once second you're fucking pregnant, it's there's no women do, even if they choose to not have the child, it's yeah. on women.
Yeah.
If they want to have children and can't, it's on the woman. if the, it's just like, I was just, I got stuck on this loop. I was like, man, I've had so much fun with my friends' babies. Oh my God, humans couldn't exist without women's bodies. And I just, like, it's, again, I've said this before recently. It's crazy to me that this isn't the only thing we talk about.
It's just like, constantly.
Yeah, that we're not just like, hold on. Like, hold on a second.
Wait, what?
The fact that it's... Whoa, what? And that any fucking man is so bold as to control... That men are just, like, deciding and making laws and, like, men, you don't do shit.
Like, if I think about abortion laws...
You're nothing.
If I think about abortion laws and, yeah, the... like entirely male fucking bodies that like of politicians that write them and sign them into law. If I think about it too much, I'll just explode. So, and I find that to be true about a lot of topics in life.
It's true.
You really just push them all out of mind because it's so overwhelming and infuriating and just like incomprehensible that you're just like, well,
I guess I can't think about that. But I just was like, how are we not falling at the feet of like every woman ever? Every woman ever.
I think we should be. I vow to from this day forward.
I like was having this thought today at work and I like looked at my boss who has had two children and I was like, she's a miracle. I just was like, I should tell her how and I was like, I maybe need to, I mean, I will tell. I have told her she's great. Women, but then I was like, even women who don't have children, who choose to or who can't. It's just like the burden of human existence falls exclusively on women. And the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, what?
Next time I see Henley, I'm going to kiss her feet.
We're going to fall right at her feet. And I'll say hi to the baby because I'm not even jealous of him.
I can't fucking wait. I can't fucking wait to see him.
I know, I love him already. It's just a big joke.
So we're in summer now. We're in summer.
We are.
This is summertime. And something that I forgot that I hate about summertime is the mosquitoes. And I have been in battle with a mosquito in my apartment. And it's pushed me... two places that I'm really not thrilled about. I feel like no matter where I am, if there's a mosquito there, I get bitten. I've got something genetically that they just fucking love me. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling, you know, it sucks that I'm getting bitten when I'm outside, but like at least I have my home, my sanctuary where it's mosquito free.
Right. Yes.
And that all changed yesterday. And I spotted one on me, and soon after, bumps just started appearing left and right. I have close to 20 mosquito bites at the moment. And I get big reactions to them. So they're like each like the size of about a nickel.
20 nickel sized bites?
20 nickel sized bumps on my body. Very itchy. And so I like reached a breaking point real quick because I don't have a lot of patience for this because nothing makes you feel crazier than being itchy.
Yeah, it's really. And if you're hot, oh my God, being hot and itchy will make.
That's the thing. I'm like, I can't fucking
lose my mind.
I'm now like feel like I can't wear shorts in my house because they're the ankle biter variety. Oh. So it's like all over my legs. So I was doing my mosquito research. I read that they don't like dark colors. I was wearing black pants. So now, if you can see, I'm wearing light-colored, loose-fitting.
Like as in they'll bite you because they're mad?
Well, they're like attracted to it. Or so they do like it. I don't know. Something like if you're wearing dark colors, you're more likely to get bitten.
Okay, this is helpful information.
And so I'm wearing a loose-fitting white shirt and loose-fitting light-colored pants. Yep. And I'm wearing socks to cover my ankles.
I saw the socks and was like, isn't she so hot?
But I'm very hot, now. Emily, oh, yes. This is not what I want to be wearing.
Oh, no.
I went to the grocery store. I bought all the ingredients needed for mosquito traps, some sugar, and a 2-liter bottle that you cut in half and put it upside down, make a funnel, pour yeast in the sugar water, trap them in there. I've got that set up in my apartment. I bought citronella candles. They're being shipped currently as we speak. I bought them instantly. I'm going to light them all around my house. I found a little spray bottle, poured some witch hazel in it, and I had some citronella essential oils and some rosemary essential oil. Apparently, they don't like that, so I've been making my little DIY mosquito repellent. This is like what I did all day today. I was like, what can I do? And I'm pretty sure the most infuriating thing is that I'm pretty sure it's just one mosquito who is doing this to me. And I've seen them a few times, but they're so small that the second I lose sight of it, it's just gone. It's just gone. Like, I want to kill it so bad. And I just can't. It, like, even when I see it land on me and I turn my head to look at it, it flies away. Like, it, even just one little piece of movement makes it fly away. Anyways, it's making me feel really insane. And I just fucking hate mosquitoes so much. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I know to be true about Donald Trump is that he also hates mosquitoes. And so a joke that I keep saying to myself is, I'm fucking voting for Trump. I'm voting for Trump. This is so much. This is how much I hate mosquitoes.
This is enough to turn me.
Mm-hmm. No, I won't be voting for Trump. I won't be. That is a joke, but
that is a joke. I mean, hopefully no one will have the ability to.
I hope that. But yeah, I don't know. I just hate mosquitoes, and it just got me thinking that this is also when cockroaches come, or as my landlord likes to call them, water bugs.
Water bugs. They're just water bugs. Anyways, everybody knows them. Water bugs.
Listeners out there, I hope that you're not having similar bug problems, because bugs are great in terms of like what we need for the earth. I feel like a lot of them do good
stuff.
We don't need mosquitoes.
We don't need them.
And they do
they're bad.
A lot of harm. They're like, I think, the most dangerous animal in the world.
They spread so much disease. They're nasty little motherfuckers. They are the worst.
I used to be pretty against. I know there was like talk recently of doing the CRISPR to them, the like genetic modification to basically, we could basically make them extinct, which does freak me out playing God in that way, but I'm kind of on board with it now.
One day
of getting a bunch of bites. Let's make them extinct.
Here's what's interesting. I've always had that same thought too, of like, oh, we can't do that's a step too far. Mosquitoes. Yeah. Like, we talk about it in the way like, oh, we'd be playing God, but like, we're playing God everything
all the time.
We are destroying the planet in every conceivable way. We've genetically modified crops. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, we play God in all sorts of ways.
It's very true. So why not one more?
So why not this one? Why not this one? We are probably the last living human generation, so let's make it mosquito free. I mean, come the fuck on.
Yes. Write your senators, write your representatives.
Write them. And while you're at it, tell them they should be kissing the feet of every woman they have ever seen or known.
Yes.
No, that mosquitoes. Women rulers, these are the platforms.
That's the world I want to be living in.
I want to live in a lady-filled, mosquito-free, burning earth.
Good Lord, how do I segue from that to Paranormal Activity 3?
I think you just did.
Oh boy, that's the way to do it. You just say it.
Yep.
Listeners, guess what? This week...
What?
We're talking about Paranormal Activity 3. I was in the mood for something scary, and I got too scared, and I had to turn it off and finish it today.
Oh, no.
It came out in 2011. It was directed by Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman, written by Christopher Landon, starring Lauren Bittner, Christopher Nicholas Smith, Chloe Sendry, Jessica Tyler Brown, and Dustin Ingram, and it is streaming on Hulu for free, which Paranormal Activity 1 and 2 are not, just 3 and 4, which I thought was interesting and lucky for me.
And lucky for you. And there are currently 6?
That is correct. There is Paranormal Activity 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then there is Paranormal Activity, the Marked Ones, and then the Ghost Dimension. That's 6 total, right? Yeah.
That is 6 total. And they are currently in post-production for number 7, which we will be doing on the podcast because, listeners, I can say this because there was a fucking Deadline article about it. Former podcast guest, current podcast friend, Dan Lippert, is going to be in Paranormal Activity 7.
Oh my God!
We are so excited!
I fucking lost my mind when you told me that. I was so pumped.
It's the coolest. It's so cool.
And you know what that means, listeners? That means Emily's going to have to see it, which I'm really scared for you.
I am scared.
The Conjuring was one thing.
Yeah, no, this would be different.
Paranormal's another thing. I mean...
I know.
I know some of the later ones are... People don't really like them. They've gotten pretty bad reviews, but these movies scare me more than any other movie. It's just true. I think
these are the scariest films. Even if it's going to be quote-unquote bad, which it won't, because of Dan.
It won't.
It's still going to be scared. Like, it's still... I did tell Dan, I was like, I will see this. You must tell me everything that happens before I see it. And I don't know that he will oblige me on that, which is mean.
So mean.
We'll see. But I am so fucking excited for our friend to be in a fucking horror movie, let alone a Paranormal Activity movie. It's crazy. It's going to be so cool. And it comes out early next year, summer next year, something like that. So here I am making a big announcement for something that's a year away. you know.
I mean, I feel like we've all gotten used to waiting for something for a year because everything closed down for a year. I feel like most movies I've been like, just one more year.
Just one more year and I get that movie. It's true. In fact, now that things are coming out this year, I'm like, so soon? Like, so I was like, Matrix is in December? That's so soon.
I know. It is like, give me some time. I'm not ready.
Chill out. Wow. Okay. So this one, though, really scary.
This one, very scary. You know, it's not as scary as 1 and 2. But I cannot believe that I watched number 2 alone in a 5-bedroom house.
I don't know how you did that.
Basically isolated, secluded cliffside on the coast of Washington.
Just so many windows.
In a house made of windows. Oh my God. I just don't know how I did it. I got too scared in this one in my own apartment. And I remember I watched number 1 during the day as well. Mm. So number 2 really fucking scared me because I watched it. Oh God, what a scary setting. I felt like I was going to die. I felt like my life was in danger. And
Oh my God. And
I realize that's maybe what some people feel like watching any scary movie. And I understand now why people might not like scary movies if that's the feeling that you get. It was very bad. It was a very bad feeling.
Oh, yay, yay.
Welcome to Cocktail Hour. This week, we are drinking a Bloody Mary. And look, you guys, we've been doing this podcast for a while. I don't remember if we've already done a Bloody Mary on this podcast, but you know what? It's one of my very favorite drinks. So we're just going to do it again. And it's very simple to make a Bloody Mary. All you need is 1.5 ounces of vodka and your favorite Bloody Mary mix. Mix them both over ice, garnish however you please. Personally, I am loving the Real Dill Bloody Mary mix. So good, very pickly. And as my garnish, I do a squeeze of lemon, a pickle spear, and some olives. However you want to make it, it's a delicious drink, not just for breakfast, have it any time of day, and cheers.
Are you glad you watched this one?
I'm glad I watched it, and I there's a lot of things that I like about these movies. There's some things I didn't like about this particular one, and I'll get into it in a bit, but first let's get into some trivia. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that it has a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 59% on Metacritic, and a 5.8 on IMDb.
Kind of low.
A little lower than the average on all of those. The first Paranormal had an 83, 68, and 6.3. Second had 58, 53, 5.7. So it's kind of in between. It's rated in between those. Mm. And the budget was $5 million and it made $207 million.
Holy shit.
This is the highest grossing of the paranormals. And wow. Yeah, man, it's so much. I just still can't. I mean, I get shocked every time I think about the first one's budget being $15,000 though. My God.
Yeah. Even though this one was the highest grossing, it probably still the difference isn't.
Yeah, the first one made also pretty close to $200 million. It made like $193 million. So it's like just a couple million less on basically no budget at all.
Wow.
So yeah, this one isn't as high of a return in that way, but still made the most. They said that very little set dressing was done on the house. This one is set in the 80s. And they said they walked into houses and we wouldn't need to do much to them. Sometimes you get lucky. We didn't want to throw 80s things in your face too much. We didn't want to make it like, look, it's the 80s, which was actually one of my problems with it. I felt like it didn't look like it was from the 80s. But part of that is that this one has the nicest like HD camera of all of them, which is what makes these movies good, right? Is that they look they're supposed to look shitty, and like it just doesn't make sense that the one set furthest in the past would look the best, and it really took me out of it a lot of the time. So I wish they had just used a crappier camera, because it's more effective, it's scarier. Like I don't need it to look crisp and high def, like, right? Give me the grainy shit.
Give me the grainy shit.
That was one of my big problems with the movie. And like the main two people they cast, they were great and I liked them, but something about them felt very modern. Like they just
I couldn't
like put my finger on it, but they just didn't feel like they were in the 80s. They felt like hipsters you'd see at a coffee shop here in Silver Lake, present day. So, yeah. Oh, and that goes into this next bit of trivia, which is that the camera seen on screen during most of the film is actually a tiny high def camera hidden inside the body of a VHS camcorder. Hmm. But that's all I've got for us as far as trivia. Are you ready to watch this trailer? Because I know in general, you're not a big fan of these trailers.
I know, but I have to do it.
You have to. Those are the rules.
Those are the rules. I agreed to them, so.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Hey, ladies.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, it's Katie. Woo-hoo-hoo. Katie, wave hi to the camera, Katie. Hey, Christy, you want to say hi? Come on, give us a wave here, Christy.
Whatever happened to us when we were little, I don't remember anything.
Whatever it was, it thrived on fear. The more we paid attention to it, the worse it got.
Okay, I think it's on. Remember the rules?
Yes, say Bloody Mary 3 times.
Okay, I'm gonna turn off lights. Okay, ready?
Bloody Mary.
Okay, that was okay. I could do that.
Yeah. And strangely, most of that is not in the movie. And say there's like there's another trailer, and I guess they just had filmed a lot that didn't make it in the movie, so they were like, we'll use the stuff that didn't make it in the movie so that nothing is spoiled, which
smart.
I think is smart, but a lot of people were really pissed about it because they like went in expecting all these scenes, because the other trailer is even longer and has like a character that never shows up, and so people were like,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I used to be so fucking scared of Bloody Mary as a kid. Like, I would think I would do it and be like, bloody, no, can't. I was so fucking scared that it was real and that something would happen.
I remember going to a sleepover and somebody did it and got like a huge cut, and it's like, they did it to themselves is the crazy thing. It's like a little girl that just was like, I'm going to scratch myself and freak everyone out, which is like what the whole thing was.
Yeah.
But it scared the shit out of me. Yeah.
Oof, yeah. I was not trying to fuck with that. I'm still not trying to fuck with it. I won't do it.
No, I won't do it.
No way in hell as a 30-year-old woman would I go into my bathroom that I live in all the time and say Bloody Mary 3 times. I won't do it.
Beetlejuice, maybe.
Beetlejuice, I'll say. I'll say Beetlejuice. Oh my God, I've said it twice.
It's just gonna. It's just a little more fun when it's Michael Keaton in a funny.
It's a little more fun. He's got a fun outfit.
In a fun suit.
Yeah.
He's real silly.
Though I was really scared of Beetlejuice as a kid, and now I've said it 3 times. Michael!
He must be busy in that, like, little foam graveyard.
Somebody else might have said it. He's like, oh, I'll be there in a minute.
He's so funny. I love Beetlejuice.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look. We got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it, you know. Crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also, the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
Okay, should we talk about this movie?
Yeah,
are you ready to get scared?
Yeah.
Okay, so we start in Carlsbad, California, and we see Christy, who we remember from Paranormal Activity 2. And one thing that I do like about these movies is how they play into each other, and none of them ever really give you the full picture, and they never really, like, repaint, like, they don't replay things for you. They don't, they're not like, here's everything that happened in the first movie, remember? You kind of just have to piece it together, which I like. That part I like. And so we come up on Christy. So Christy was the main one in Paranormal Activity 2. Katie was the main one in 1, and their sisters. So we kind of remember that they both die in the respective films because of the demon that's been following them. So we're going kind of back in time before both of those films, because Christy is pregnant and we see Katie is about to move in with Mika. So the events of the first and the second haven't happened yet. Christy and her husband are painting the baby's room, and this baby is going to be Hunter, which we learned in the second that there's some sort of deal made with a demon for the firstborn son in the family. And Hunter was the first boy born in 70 years or something. So kind of like vaguely remembered that stuff. And so she's pregnant with Hunter, and Katie comes over and is like, oh, I'm moving with Micah. They're all excited for her. And she's like, can I leave some boxes of stuff here? Because we don't have room for it at the new house. Their house is bigger. They're like, okay. So she puts some boxes in the basement, and we see that it's a box full of VHS tapes from the 80s. And Christy says, you know, what is that? And she says, oh, I somehow ended up with it when Grandma Lois died. I don't know. Some old family videotapes. And she's like, okay, well, yeah, we can keep them here. That's fine. Then we flash forward to the events of the beginning of Paranormal Activity 2, where there's a break-in in the house after Hunter is born. That's kind of what the opening scene is that there's a break-in and the whole house is kind of ransacked, but nothing is gone. But we see in this flashback that actually that box of videotapes is gone. So that is the only thing missing. And then we go into the videotapes. I don't know who's playing the videotapes. I guess usually there's the little text that comes up that's like, the following is, you know, from the events of this. And we don't get that in this one, which I kind of miss. I kind of wish they would have done that.
Yeah,
to just give you a reason of why the tapes are playing, because we know all these people are dead and they're not playing them for us. Anyways, so we go back into the videotapes, which takes us back to Santa Rosa, 1988. It is Katie's birthday party. Katie is the older sister, and in 88, she's 9 and Christy is 5. Their mom's boyfriend is the one filming them. It's a similar to Mika. He's got a camcorder. He's pumped about it. And they actually say that his job is he's a wedding videographer. And so he's got kind of a little video studio in the garage where he edits wedding videos and stuff. Their mom's name is Julie. The boyfriend's name is Dennis. And Grandma Lois is also at this birthday party. They're all kind of talking into the lens, saying happy birthday, like, we love you so much, a little birthday message type of thing. And then there's a scene where they go inside after eating cake and see that Christy has a loose tooth, and they zoom in and she does that thing where she puts her like tongue behind it and it pops out, and it like,
ugh.
It was just that little girl had a loose tooth that day, because I was like, that can't be faked, because it was just,
yeah.
Ooh, but you remember losing teeth? I hated losing teeth.
There was a period of time where I would freak out every time I lost a tooth, because I had convinced myself that it was an adult tooth and not a baby tooth. I'd be like, I already lost that one. And I would be like, oh, I'm going to have no teeth. And I, like, as a child, that's fucked up. Like,
God,
why did I think that?
I have a lot of teeth dreams. They're my most often recurring dream. And I remember towards the end of losing teeth, like when you're on number 20 or whatever, and you've lost a lot and you're nearing the end. I was so sick of losing teeth that the second one would get loose, I would rip it out of my mouth. Because
it's like, again, Sammy, we could spend so much time talking about the like exact opposite ways we reacted to the same things growing up and how it has led us where we are today. Like, I would do anything in my power to keep that tooth in my mouth because I was like, once it's gone,
it's you'll gone have forever.
No more teeth.
I just didn't want to have it being wiggling for weeks. I was like, just get to the cut to the fucking chase. Just get it out of my mouth.
I don't want to
do this song and dance. I don't want to do the song and dance. Just rip it out.
Tooth.
But anyways, I just thought it was a nice little touch. They were like, her tooth is loose. Let's film it. Because it is little thing. Yeah, why not? And then we see that this house that they're in is a new house. And they're recently moved in. And they take a photo of Katie in the driveway, which we recognize as the photo that's in both 1 and 2. That in 1, Katie finds it in the attic, above her bedroom, and it has the edges burned. And in 2, we see Christy and her husband, or no, her husband, not Christy, her husband basically makes a deal with the demon, like, I'll give you Katie if you leave us alone. So this picture was used in a kind of ritual to attempt to pass on this demon to Katie, which is how the second one ends. So these movies are actually going backwards. So the first one is the latest chronologically. Second one is further back, and this one's way further back. So they're going backwards in time, which is kind of fun.
Okay. Yeah.
So we see Dennis in his garage workshop, and he hears some thumping happening in the house and grabs his camcorder and walks around the house. We get the kind of peeking around each angle, quiet, empty house, just long continuous shots of the camera moving in any which way. Oh, it really scares me. And he hears something again, and he pinpoints it to it's coming from upstairs, goes upstairs, which is where the girls' room is. They share a room. They have two little twin beds next to each other, and he finds one of their toys, like a little talking bear has fallen off the shelf and is talking. And he says, oh, did you fall off the shelf? And kind of sets him back in his place. And then behind him, we hear a door creaking open, and it scares him, and he turns and whips the camera around, and we see they have a tiny little closet door, like a mini door, kind of like the door in Get Out. It's almost like an under closet door.
Right.
The scariest kind of door.
Really scary.
And that has just creaked open of its own volition. He kind of peeks inside of it. It's just a closet. I mean, it just has their kid stuff in it, some boxes of toys and whatnot, but it's kind of deep, so it's dark at the back. It's just scary, but he doesn't see anything in it, turns the camera, and Christy's standing right there. It's a jump scare of her just quietly having snuck up on him. Totally freaks him out, but it's fine. It's just her. And he's like, okay, there's nothing weird going on here. We're all
certainly
good.
Nothing weird.
That night, him and Julie get into bed, and he says, like, I kind of want to film us having sex. Is that perverted? And they're smoking a little weed and having fun and giggling. They're like a cute young couple. And she's like, no, I'm kind of into that. Like, let's do it. And he's like, are you serious? And so they set up the camera facing the bed and start kissing and undressing each other. And then we hear a banging noise. And Julie stops and is kind of looking around. looking a little unsettled. And they're like, are we just paranoid from being stoned? And they like keep kissing. And then a picture falls off the wall and it's a loud crash. And then the whole room starts shaking and it's an earthquake. And like a big earthquake. And they jump up, say like, the girls, get the girls, get the girls. And the camera falls over on the side as they run out to get the girls. And the earthquake stops. And we just see this canted angle of the room. And after the earthquake stops, this kind of puff of dust falls from the roof and it lands on a figure for just a moment and then drops all the rest of the way to the floor. It's very creepy. And the next day he's looking at that footage and he sees that. And he has this coworker guy named Randy who's like, what is that, a sex tape? Like, let me see that. And he's like, no, like, that's not what I'm trying to show you. And shows him the dust falling on a figure. And he's like, yeah, that is fucking weird. What is that? And they get pretty creeped out. And they decide to set up cameras in the house, which is our traditional paranormal activity. We like our security cameras. But these are camcorders, basically just on sticks in the corner of a room. So they set up that he only has two. So he sets up one in the girls' room and one in their room. And that night they go to bed and they just, it loves to just have long periods of quiet, just looking from the camera's POV at them sleeping in their beds, just long, quiet shots that really scare me. Again, I'll say it again. They scare me.
It's scary.
We see that Julie and Dennis are asleep. And up in the girls' room, Christy wakes up and gets out of bed and starts walking towards the little closet door, which is right by the camera. So it looks like she's walking right towards the camera and talking just past the camera. And she says, yeah, probably, like she's talking to somebody. She says, they're in their bedroom. Be quiet. We don't want to wake up Katie. Why? Kind of. He's very sweet. And then she just gets back in bed and goes to bed. And the next morning, Dennis has reviewed the tapes and says to Christy, you know, who are you talking to last night? And she says, oh, I was talking to Toby. And he's asking her more about Toby. And is Toby young like you? And she says, no, he's old like grandma. And he's asking more questions. And she says, I can't really tell you much more than that. Like, I'll get in big trouble. And he says, does Toby say he's going to hurt you? And she says, no, I just wouldn't be safe if I talked about it. I just wouldn't be safe. And he's really freaked out, goes to tell Julie. Again, he's not their dad. He's the boyfriend, but he's really good with the kids. And they're all very happy. We're not sure where the dad is. It doesn't ever say. But he goes down to Julie, basically relaying this information to her. He's very freaked out. Julie really brushes it off. She says, you know, you haven't been around kids very long. Like, they do weird shit. They're creepy a lot of the time. They have invisible friends. She's like, they have invisible friends. Katie used to get up in the middle of the night and go sleep in the bathroom. Like, they just do weird shit. And he's like, okay, like, I guess you're right. But he is still, he's definitely more freaked out than she is. She doesn't seem to be worried at all. So then Randy comes over for work. He kind of, I guess, comes over to edit the wedding videos. And him and Randy are more in it together. They're taking it more seriously. And Julie's rolling her eyes at them. And so they're downstairs. And then they hear a noise. And he's like, dude, you heard that, right? You heard that. and they grab the camcorder. They go upstairs where the noise is coming from. They're like, it's coming from this closet. They open the closet, pull back the clothes, and Julie jumps out in a gorilla mask. And it's actually pretty, it's got me good. It's a jump scare. And she's cracks up laughing like, I got you so fucking good.
Demons don't like that.
They don't like to be made fun of. No.
They don't like to be disrespected.
No. That night, the girls are going to be sleeping in a tent outside. And so they get them all tucked in bed. They're like, have fun in your little outdoor slumber party. This is so cute. And we get our point of view from the cameras that night as everyone goes to bed. And the girls' room is empty because they are outside. And so Dennis and Julie are in their bed. And we just get a long shot of them sleeping. And then we hear some footsteps in the distance. And a light turns on in the hallway. And then it turns back off. And then we hear more footsteps. And at this point, Julie wakes up and she says, Dennis, I think the girls came inside. I think the girls are inside. And he gets up to check and he's gone for, we stay with Julie in the room, who's just kind of waiting, and he doesn't come back. And she walks to the bathroom because I think there's a window in there where she can maybe see outside. But the camera doesn't move to follow her, so she just basically walks out of frame. And we see the door of the bedroom slowly close shut, soundlessly, not like a big slam like this demon. We know this demon loves to slam a door from previous films. But it just slowly closes. And then as she walks back into frame, it bursts open and it's Dennis and... she's like, don't do that. You scared me. And he's like, they're not inside. Like, I don't know. And she goes out with him and they go out to the tent, but the house door has been locked. So basically the girls are locked out and she gets all annoyed with Dennis. Like, why would you lock the door? Like if they can't get in, clearly I'm sure he didn't lock it, but they go out. The girls are sleeping in the tent. They have not come in. Julie says, okay, girls, like, time to get, we're moving inside for the night. Like, let's get in, back in bed. Move the girls into the bed. Everybody goes back to sleep. The next day, Julie's mom comes over, which we know that it's something in this maternal bloodline that is, is the curse, deal with the demon. So I didn't remember if it was this mom or her mom. But anyway, so the mom is over and she's kind of disapproving of Dennis, kind of makes a comment about how he doesn't earn that much money from his videographer job, wish he had a little more stability. And Julie says, you know, he's great with the kids. I'm really happy. We're really in love. Like, I wish he would just be happy for us. And then she says, the mom, Lois, says, are you guys going to have more kids? And Julie says, no, mom, I told you I don't want to have more kids. Like, I'm really happy with the kids I have. And Lois says, you always wanted a son. And Julie says, I have two beautiful daughters. I'm really happy with the way things are. Like, I don't want to get pregnant again. Then Dennis and Randy are back in the garage, kind of talking about things, and he's saying, like, you got to set up another camera downstairs. So Randy brings over another camera to set up downstairs to see the kitchen and the dining room, because they only have cameras in the bedrooms right now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, but nothing's going to be wide enough to see all of downstairs. Like, they don't make lenses that wide. Little joke about 80s technology. And so then they decide to kind of break apart an oscillating fan, add a board on top of it, and strap the camera to the board so that they can, the camera can oscillate slowly side to side panning. This is where I turned it off last night. I was fuck this. Fuck this.
Such a good device, but holy shit.
I remember Jess told us about this.
Yes, I remember that.
In the first Paranormal Activity. And so I knew what to expect and didn't realize it was this movie. And yeah, when it happened, I was like, no, I can't do this tonight. I can't do this tonight.
No, I'm tapping out.
So they set up a fan and we see that it moves real slow side to side. One side is the kitchen / dining room. One side is the living room. Just side to side. That night we see it panning slowly, stays on it for like a minute. And then upstairs, we see Christy getting out of bed again and kind of tiptoeing around the house as if she's playing like hide and seek or something. Like she's having fun. She's kind of giggling. She goes downstairs. We see her in the oscillating fan view, climbing up on the kitchen table, again giggling. And then she gets back in bed and goes to sleep. Next morning, Julie asks her about it. She says she was playing with Toby. And Julie says, "Like, well, what were you guys doing?" And she says, "Ask him. He's right next to you."
Oh, my God.
She turns and looks. There's nothing there. But she's creeped out, for sure.
She absolutely should be.
She should be. Randy comes over again with some books that he has stolen from the library that are about malevolent entities, like leather-bound books that I don't think that the library would carry. But
no, probably not.
They're going through these books and find out that kids are more susceptible to spiritual contact. And so Dennis is thinking, oh, Christy is talking to us, an entity of some sort, a malevolent entity. And it also says in this book that the entities feed off your fear.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting some more information and just putting it all in these cameras. Like he's like, I'm going to catch something on camera. We're going to figure out what's happening. That night, we see the camera view panning left and right in each of the bedrooms. Girls are asleep. And we see that Julie can't sleep. She's kind of tossing and turning and eventually gets up, goes downstairs. We see her come into frame of the oscillating camera to go into the kitchen. She grabs some sort of snack out of the fridge, some Tupperware, is eating it. Camera pans back to the living room. Living room's empty. Pans back to her. She finishes, is rinsing out the dish, pans away. We hear her turn on the garbage disposal.
No!
And we see in the living room, there's a chandelier-type light that's starting to flicker a bit and sway, like really slightly. She doesn't notice it. It's not bright, but it's just kind of dimly flickering.
Ugh.
And we just hear her drop a whatever silverware into the garbage disposal. And we hear her being like, oh, God damn it. And the camera pans and we see her elbow deep in a garbage disposal. And she's just digging around in there.
No, fishing for the spoon. And we pan back
and the light is again like swaying, getting really bright. And we pan back to her with her hands still in this garbage disposal. And the light explodes. And it's just a loud bang. The garbage disposal doesn't turn on, thank God. But it really scares her. Wakes up. Dennis runs downstairs. He's like, what the heck happened? She's like, I don't know. It just popped. Something just, it was just a loud noise. We see the chandelier thing has like fallen to the ground. And they're just like, well, that was weird. Just scares them. Just another fucking weird thing happening.
Okay.
The next day, Christy is having a little tea party with her stuffed animals and dolls and stuff. And Dennis comes to join her, sets up the camera to film her to ask more questions about Toby. Like, let's hear a little bit more. And she's like, he's here now. He's sitting here. And he's like, well, does Toby tell you to do things? What does Toby say? And she's like, oh, like, I really can't tell you. And he can't really get much out of her. And so he leaves, but he leaves the camera where it is. We see Katie come upstairs and start making fun of Christy for, she's like, oh, you're such a baby. Your imaginary friend. You're such a baby. And Christy says, like, you better not, like, make fun of him. You better not make fun of Toby. And she's like, is he sitting next to you right now? And she's like, no, he went back into the closet. And she's like, well, let me go in there. Let me go check on him. And, like, opens the door to the closet. And Christy's like, no, Katie, don't go in there. Don't go in there. And Katie goes in, is laughing, like, Toby, Toby. The door slams shut behind her. She starts screaming. And we see that, you know, Christy is obviously across the room. Wasn't Christy, but Katie is yelling, Christy, I can't believe you did that. Like, let me out. Screaming. Eventually, Julie runs upstairs, opens the door, can get her out. And Katie says, you know, Christy locked me in there. And Christy says, it was Toby. And Katie's like, oh, yeah, Toby locked me in there. It was Toby.
Yeah, seems like it was. I suspect Toby.
That night, Dennis and Julie are going out on a date. For some reason, not that there's not a lot of things to be worried about in the home.
Yeah.
a babysitter comes over.
You gotta make room for romance.
That's true. That's true. That's the secret.
Yeah.
So the babysitter comes over, and a little detail that I liked is that she goes up to the girl's room and Katie says, let me show you my new beads. If we remember, she has a beading table.
That's right.
So this is
it started young,
a lifelong hobby.
A passion for beads.
Mm-hmm. And so Dennis and Julie leave. And as the babysitter's tucking the girls into bed, Katie says, tell us a story. Tell us a ghost story. And the babysitter says, oh, a ghost story. Let me think. And she goes and finds a sheet and puts it over her and goes, ooh, I'm a ghost. Not understanding the concept of a ghost story.
No, that's not how it works.
That's not a story. That's a costume.
That's a ghost costume.
But she's playing around with them and makes them giggle. And she says, okay, good night, girls. Go to bed. Tucks them in, goes downstairs, turns off the light. And then we see her downstairs in the kitchen. Camera pans to her. Eating a snack or something. Camera pans away. Living room's empty. Camera pans back to her. Back to the kitchen, and she's not there. And then she jumps in front of the camera and says, boo! Ha ha, Dennis, gotcha! She's thinking this is all some sort of joke.
Can't think that way.
The camera pans away again to the empty living room. Pans back, we see her sitting at the dining table working on some homework or something. She's like a college student, probably. And it pans away to the living room, and we see a ghost sheet figure. Just a sheet about the size of a child. It could be Katie. Pans back to her studying. Pans back over, living room's empty, but there's like a stone fireplace or wall type thing dividing the two rooms that there's a walkway behind. So when the camera pans side to side, someone could have moved side to side without you seeing them crossing the camera frame. Like, they can walk behind a wall to get into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So we go back to the living room. Living room's empty. We go back to dining room. Ghost sheet is standing directly behind the babysitter noiselessly. She doesn't notice. She's still doing her homework and just stands there for a second. And then the sheet just falls to the ground, like as if it's just a normal sheet. And she turns because that made a slight noise. And she's very confused by a sheet just sitting next to her. She starts kind of folding it, looking like, what the fuck? And walks upstairs. She also knows that they think that there's a ghost there because they had to explain, like, why there's cameras set up in each room or whatever. And so she's creeped out. She tiptoes upstairs, probably hoping to see one of the girls, like, that the girls are awake, playing pranks on her. They're not. They're both fast asleep in their beds. And she's peeking around the room. We see her look towards the camera, which the closet door is right behind that camera. So she's walking closer to the door, like she's trying to see something in that door. And as she gets close to it, the door slams, scaring her. She kind of steps backwards, doesn't wake up the girls, but she runs downstairs, and it cuts to her basically holding all of her stuff in the doorway, just waiting for the parents to get home. She's and they get home and she's like, everything was fine. It was great. Like, thank you. I'll just talk to you guys later, which seems like just tell them what happened. Like, they're going to see it on film. They know that, you know, that they're looking for that stuff, but she's freaked out. She's just trying to get out of there. She's like, okay, bye. Like, great. Thank you so much. Goodbye. Of course, the next day, Dennis and Randy see on the footage what happened. Dennis says, we can't tell Julie. She's going to make us, like, take the cameras down. She's going to get freaked out, and we got to just, like, keep gathering evidence. So they don't tell Julie. And the next, that night, we go to all the camera views. Each time getting like a 30-second static shot or oscillating shot, just empty, dark rooms. And then we see Christy get up and get out of bed and go and stand in the doorway to her parents' room. And we get that shot where she just stands there for hours and it goes into fast motion. We see the clock going through all quickly, stands there for a couple hours, and then walks back upstairs and towards the bedroom camera that's by the closet door. She says, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Gets in bed. Next morning, we see Dennis coming up to grab the camera.
Sorry, was that Chris? That was Christy.
Christy, yeah.
The one who talks to Toby. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And we see Dennis grab the camera like he's going to check it like he does every day. But he notices something weird and picks up the camera to show us what he is seeing. And inside the closet, there is a big drawing of kind of a triangle with an eye in the middle, some sort of symbology thing happening. And he's like, what the fuck? Asks, Christy or, goes downstairs, or it just cuts to Christy has a bad fever and like needs to go to the hospital. She's burning up. She's not talking. So it's a little, everyone's a little freaked out. And he's like, I'll come with you to the hospital. Julie says, who's going to stay with Katie? And she says, I'll call Randy. So they call Randy to come over to watch Katie while they take Christy to the hospital. Randy comes over and he's kind of like, what do you want to do, Katie? And she says, I want to play Bloody Mary, which if you're Randy, you know what's going on here in this house. You just say, no, absolutely not. We're not doing that.
No.
He doesn't. Nope. He doesn't do that. She's like, grab the camera. Let's go play Bloody Mary.
Oh, my God.
He grabs the camera. He looks into it. He says, sorry, Dennis, this wasn't my idea. Like, she's making me do it. They go upstairs. They go into a bathroom. They turn all the lights off. And she says, you know, we say Bloody Mary three times and then you wait. And then you can turn the lights back on and you're supposed to see her ghost. And so they go in there and they go and they look. They turn the lights off. They say Bloody Mary three times. And pretty quickly, Randy turns the light on. He's like, haha, nothing happened. And she's like, no, you have to do it for longer than that. You have to stay there for longer. And so they turn the light off again. They do it again and are in darkness for a while. He's like, can I turn it on yet? She's like, shh, shh. And then they hear kind of a scraping sound. And he's like, do you hear? She's like, shh. And the scraping gets a little louder. And then there's a big scrape and they turn the light on. And Randy kind of yells and he has a big cut on his side, like a big scratch on his torso. And he's freaked out. They're kind of turning and looking around. Nothing's in there with them, but they open the door and we see a figure pass, like a shadow pass the door. And so they slam the door closed.
Do they see it?
Yes, they see it. And they like sense something. There's definitely an energy there. And Katie is now like completely freaked out, crying like, little girl, why did you
put yourself in this situation?
This is crazy. And so they close the door. They hear kind of a growling kind of sound and they're super freaked out. Randy's trying to calm Katie down. She's screaming, I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play. I don't want to play this anymore. He's like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. They eventually kind of creak the door, pull the door open a little bit to peek out. And as he opens it to look, all the furniture in the girl's bedroom like flies across the room. And he slams the door closed again. They start screaming again. And he's like, it's okay. We're going to get out of here. It's fine. And they wait a few minutes till things quiet down and he is able to open the door and he kind of carries Katie downstairs and nothing happens. And he just starts rearranging the furniture and Dennis and Julie get home from the hospital and Randy immediately starts grabbing his shit out of the garage and he's like, I quit. Like, I'm not coming back here. This is crazy. Like, you need to leave this house. This is, I'm never coming back here. Like, you should move too.
Whoa.
And.
All right.
And as he's leaving, he's like, just watch the tape. Like, watch what just happened. Like, I was filming it. It's on tape. And so Dennis watches it and he decides, like, he needs to tell Julie. He's like, okay, this is serious shit. Julie needs to know what's going on. They go to sit down and he pulls out that book, that little leather bound book. And he says, this is about this, these women were in a coven and this symbol that's in this book is the same symbol that's drawn in the girl's closet right now. Like, something's going on here. There's some connection here. Julie's like trying to write him off as being crazy. She's like, you sound like a crazy person. And simultaneously, we see Katie chasing Christy upstairs. They're playing tag and having fun. They're running upstairs. And as Katie's running past the camera, she runs into something invisible. And it's like a thud. And she falls backwards. And she looks up as if she's looking at the height of a man. And steps backwards in fear. She looks really scared. And she starts calling mom. But as she's calling, Julie and Dennis are getting into kind of a fight. He's like, this isn't crazy. Like, this, there's tapes, there's evidence. Like, I don't know what more I need to show you. Like, something is going on. So they're getting in a loud fight. They can't hear. And then we go back to Katie and her hair stands up as if someone is pulling her from her hair. She is like lifted up off the ground and starts screaming. Cut back.
Like Matilda style.
Uh-huh. And it happens in Conjuring 2, Conjuring 1 also. Yeah. And cut back down to them yelling at each other, and then eventually Katie bursts in through the garage door, screaming, crying. Toby pulled my hair, and Julie kind of looks at Dennis like, this is your fault. You like these thoughts you've put in their head. And she says, you need to take the cameras down. This ends tomorrow, which I think is really funny. Like, not tonight.
This ends tomorrow.
Enough for the climax of the film to happen.
Not now. Not tonight. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You better believe it's going to end tomorrow. So they go to bed with all the cameras still in place for one more night only.
Okay.
And in Julie and Dennis's room. Oh, well, Dennis is pretty obviously obsessed with what's going on. So he actually stays up in the garage watching, reviewing the tapes. More, but so he's wearing headphones, reviewing tapes in the garage. We see in Julie is sleeping in her room, and we see the TV turn on to static, and it just gets kind of gradually louder so that her room is just like a white noise. Up in the girls' room, we see them sleeping, and we see in Katie's bed a figure kind of raise under the blanket as if someone is sitting up under the sheets of her bed and move towards her, and then it drops down and the sheets fall on her like normal again. But the movement of it wakes her up. She's freaked out. She wakes up, wakes Christy up, and she says, something's here. It's like, something's in here. And Christy says, oh yeah, like Toby's here. And she's like, well, I'm scared. And Christy says, don't be scared. It's fine. Just ignore it. Just try to ignore it. And Katie's getting worked up into a frenzy. She's really scared. And the blanket whips off her bed towards camera. And then she starts screaming. And Christy's trying to stop screaming. Just calm down, like relax. And
fear makes it worse.
Yeah. And then Katie, it's as if the closet has like a force of suction, and Katie is whipped off the bed and pulled towards the closet, screaming, Christy, help me, help me, help me. It's clawing back towards the bed. Then the whole bed is kind of being dragged towards the closet. It's just total commotion. It's craziness happening in the room. And Katie's begging, please, Christy, please help me, help me, help me. And Christy eventually jumps up and says, stop hurting her. I'll do what you said. I'll do what you asked. And it stops and things go back to normal. And the next morning, we see Christy go downstairs and ask her mom if they can go stay at grandma's house. And Julie says, no, we're staying here. Everything's fine. And Christy says, please, please, we got to go to grandma's. And she says, no, we're staying here. It's all fine. Then we see Julie on the phone with her mom. And this is from the oscillating camera. And she's in the kitchen and on the phone with her saying like, no, like we're not coming over. Everything's fine here. I'll call you later. And there's a knock at the door and she says, someone's here. I'll call you back. Hangs up the camera. We follow her with the camera into the living room to the front door. She opens it. Nobody's there. She's like, hello? She's like, hello?
She's like, hello?
I was like, hello? Have you seen the Moe Shandon SNL sketch? So that's what that was from. I was like, hello? And so she closes the door, starts walking back towards the kitchen, cameras following her, and in the kitchen, everything is gone. The dining table's gone, everything off the counters is all gone. It's as if it's an empty kitchen. She's looking around, like, what the fuck is going on? And after a second, everything falls from the ceiling. Like it was all just, so it's this huge loud crash of, you know, like the table, the furniture, toaster, plates, like all this shit just falls from the ceiling.
She's screaming, cut to them driving to grandma's house. We're going to grandma's. That did it.
Yeah, that did it.
So they get to grandma's and they're setting the girls up in bed. First they're kind of in the... One thing I didn't like about this, or that I did like about it, that it was scary. I didn't like it because it was scary, is that now we're in a whole new house and I don't know the nooks and crannies of this house. And that really freaked me out. And I was like, well, now I don't know where to expect things to come from. So she has like a big formal dining room with paintings on the walls, and Christy's touching one of the paintings. Dennis comes up to her and says, oh, don't touch that. She looks kind of like she feels bad, and he's like, no, I'm not mad at you, just like don't touch it. I don't know if it's expensive. Then they put them in bed, they get the girls in bed, and they also go to bed, and they've still got their camera. They set up the camera facing their bed because they're like, something's still going on, we're just gonna be safe, just set the camera up, whatever. So we see them try and sleep or fall asleep for a bit. And then at about 1 a.m., there's a sound of a car parking and maybe some headlights, like some lights coming in the window. And we hear footsteps. And Dennis wakes up Julie, somebody's outside. And she's like, oh, it's like, it's my mom. She can never sleep at night. She's always like up at all hours of the night. But she's being so loud. She's going to wake the girls up. Let me go. I'll go talk to her and tell her to go be quiet. Julie gets up, gets out of bed. Dennis is sitting up in bed waiting for her. And like 5 minutes go by and he's feeling like, why isn't she back yet? So he gets up and goes towards the door that she left the room out of. And is like, Julie. And the way that the camera's framed is he's kind of out of frame now on the right side of the frame. On the left side of the frame, we see the hallway to the rest of the house. And as he like passes the camera, all of a sudden, Lois is just standing in the hallway facing him. And he doesn't see. He's looking the other direction, trying to see if he can see Julie. And she's just standing there. And then he goes to grab the camera to pick it up to go look for Julie. And by the time he grabs it and turns it around, Lois is gone.
Ugh.
And now he takes this camera to explore this new house, which is much bigger than their house. So they're on the second floor. And he's kind of going... first around the second floor, kind of going, Julie, and goes into the girls' room, and the girls are gone. And so then he stops kind of being quiet because he's like, girls, like where? Now he doesn't know where anybody is. Now he's getting freaked out, calling for anybody. Girls, Julie, Lois, there's nobody around. So it's just a camera panning around this empty house. He hears something downstairs. Kind of fall. He's again, Julie goes downstairs, camera's panning around the living room, the dining room. It's nothing there. He hears something thumping and kind of goes towards it and sees a silhouette of a woman through a window into basically like backlit in the room in the kitchen or something. And he's like, oh, Julie? Lois? And walks around to that room and it's empty. And that's the dining room, because then he sees the paintings on the walls have been removed. They're like leaned up against the side of the wall. And they are behind them are the same drawings that were in... girl's closet. So these kind of occult looking symbols are drawn on each of the walls. This is some sort of ritual room. And he hears another noise coming from outside. There's like a garage area. And he takes the camera and goes into the, he's like tiptoeing towards the garage, again, whispering for Julie. Where's Julie? He hasn't, nobody around, completely quiet. And he opens the garage door. It's completely pitch black. And he like leans in and turns the light on, and it's full of people. It's like 10 like old men and women. It's just like Lois and all of her friends. And they just like turn to look at him. He fucking freaks out, runs back into the house. He locks the door, and they're all just slowly walking back towards the house.
No.
He runs to the foot of the stairs and sees Julie at the top of the stairs. He's like, Julie, 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 something's weird about her. He starts walking up the stairs, and the camera is then able to see her. She's raised off the ground. She's levitating, basically. And we see that her neck is at a strange angle. And so it looks like she is being hung with like something invisible. Like she's, hanging in midair. And then as he gets close to her, it's like she's thrown at him. So they're both like tumble down the stairs, and she looks dead. Like at the bottom of the stairs, he gets up and she is just lifeless. And at that moment, he finds, or Christy runs up, and he's like, Christy, 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 we got to get out of here. Grabs Christy and starts to make for the the front door. There's a window that he can see through, and he can see that there's a bonfire with all the people around it right out front of the door. So he goes back the other direction, but hears someone coming in. And so they just like duck into a closet, and Christy's like freaking out, and he's like, you gotta be quiet, quiet, quiet. Shh, please, 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 please be quiet. Please be quiet. She's crying. He's like trying to muffle her cries. We hear a footsteps coming towards the closet. He's like, please, 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 be quiet, be quiet. And as it sounds like something really big is coming. And as it gets close, it's a low growling noise. And then the closet like shakes. They're able to hold it closed, and they're screaming now. The thing like knows they're there, but they're just able to keep the door closed, and eventually whatever it is gets bored, walks off, something like that. And they wait there for a minute or so. He's like, okay, we gotta get out of here. We gotta make a run for it. And so they open the door. There's nothing there now. And he walks out and sees Katie at the foot of the stairs, basically looking at her mom's lifeless body. And he slowly approaches her. He's like, Katie, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here. And it's like the longest. She's crouched down like in a little fetal position looking at her mom. And it's so long of him just like approaching her with his hand outstretched to like touch her shoulder. And you just know something bad is gonna happen. And he finally gets to her. And as soon as he touches her shoulders, she like whips around like, and has the like little demon face that's really quick. You don't see much, but we just see that it's not her. Like it's not Katie's face. And he is flung back with demon force, like thrown across the room. Camera flies too. So the camera's on the ground, and we just see his foot like twitching in the frame. And he is eventually able to flip himself over, and he's really hurt. He's kind of army crawling back towards the door. Christy and Katie have like run off together. So he's just kind of now trying to crawl to get out. And then Lois walks in front of him, just very slowly and casually stands in front of him. And we hear that same growling sound, like she's giving a command or something, or permission maybe to this thing, and kind of like says like go for it to Dennis. And we see Dennis basically bent in half, like backwards, like there's just this like whoo, and his spine basically snaps backwards. We hear like all the bones in his body pop And then he like drops down lifeless. And Christy and Katie appear back in frame. They each take one of their grandma's hands. Lois leads them upstairs and says, let's go get ready. And then the camera stays on this empty downstairs for a while, just sitting on the empty room. And then we hear a loud growl and the camera like falls to the ground and goes to static. Like the things just hit it. And that's the end of the movie.
Well,
scary.
Really scary.
That oscillating fan, man, I just hated it so much.
Oh my God. Ooh, that feels very like the old people at the end. It like reminds me a bit of Hereditary. Yeah. It reminds me a bit of Rosemary's Baby. Uh-huh. Just like this group of people who are like, hi.
A little coven.
We know what's up. Ooh, it's scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. But it's, again, like what I like about these movies is that it's really just giving you a little piece of the puzzle each time. Like, I like that it's not, yeah, it's not trying to answer all of your questions at once. And it does, it's makes me want to keep seeing them because I'm like, well, I gotta find out more. Which, of course, yeah, you know, is the debate we always have of when it's, when things are eventually completely explained, it does tend to ruin the thing. But I feel like they just get so much mileage out of it in these movies where it's like,
yeah,
they're just
like all this
telling
stuff
you the
easily
least
could have been explained, yeah, in like one movie, and they're like, no.
Yeah. Which I like.
No, instead we'll make like $800 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
ugh,
they did it.
Wowie wow.
Good for you, Jason Blum.
Good for you. Good for you. Wow, these movies are fucking scary.
They're so scary.
Towards the end there, I was trying to like really picture it. I was really like putting myself there mentally instead of just listening, and I got too scared and I had to stop.
Yeah, I luckily was watching it in the day, which was, and even then I was spooked. Because then you just get scared of every noise in your house. You're like, well, it's a demon. It's a demon.
Ugh. No, thank you. I'll watch it for Dan. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else for me.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll recap.
I know it's a lot of things to catch up on before 7.
I know. I'm like wondering if I do indeed need to watch 2 more. 3 more? 3 more.
3 more.
Before seeing 7. I guess I should.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. I like to really pace them out because they, I need to forget how
scary. Really fucking scary.
Yeah, I need to
yeah
forget how scary they are in order to be brave enough to do the next one.
Mm. We got time. We have a whole year.
Okay, that's
to
right.
Watch 3 more movies.
Okay, I think maybe we can do it.
Ugh. Thank you for doing this for us, Sammy.
Wow. You are welcome. I'm happy that we got to do a real scary one. I feel like it's been a while since something's been yeah real scary.
Well, that did it.
No voices, really. Demon growls.
No voices.
We could just do regular San Diego accents.
Yeah.
Which will be ever so subtly different from last week's Las Vegas accent.
Right, our American accent last time.
Yeah.
See if you can tell. See if you can pick up on the
see
slight
if you can
regional
spot,
difference.
Spot the difference.
Mm-hmm.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hi, friends. Emily here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating, a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast for bonus content, bonus episodes, polls about movies that we're going to cover, all sorts of stuff. And as always, you can catch us right here every Wednesday until the end of time, or so we hope. We love you so much. Bye.